Should we completely reinvent the power grid? That's the question that we're going to ask of Carl Zakella, Director of Western Transmission of the National Resource Defense Council. And Carl, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
What's the point of the redesign, the potential redesign?
Well, we're not redesigning the grid. What we're doing is making the grid more efficient and operated to its best capacity for renewable energy integration. Right now, Pat, there's 38 different entities that control parts of the grid. They make it expensive and difficult to connect the renewable energy resources we need for our utilities and our CCAs to be able to decarbonize the economy. And a major fix in how we run the grid is really what we're talking about.
And how much does this have to do beyond California with the western states?
Well, we're already part of an interconnected western grid, but there's
right.
all these different pieces that are run by other people. It's kind of like a bus with 38 different drivers. If we streamline how the system is operated, it's less expensive for us to plug into the renewable energy resources from across the other parts of the West, like the wind energy in New Mexico and in Wyoming and Colorado and other places. Those things are operating when we need them, when the sun goes down in California. And our solar resources, which in many hours we have too much of, we can send to those other states and they can shut off their coal plants. So it's a system that helps us get the coal plants out faster, gets the renewable energy resources in faster, and is a safer, cleaner, cheaper, and faster way to get to our renewable energy goals over the long term.
Would it be an issue, Carl, that that states outside of California might have different priorities in terms of the kinds of energy they use and their commitment to renewable energy?
You know, it really shouldn't matter that much because the most of the states in the West really don't want to use coal power anymore. You know, you have a couple of states where there's a lot of coal plants circulated, but if we do this, those plants have to then compete with cheaper renewable energy resources in a wholesale energy market. And the wholesale market chooses the cheapest resources to go first to serve the energy that's needed across the system. And that's always going to be renewables because they have no fuel costs. So regional markets actually help us deal with those states without having to pass any laws, without having to force them to do anything. And it also gives them a stake in the transition that we're trying to make. So as they transition away from a coal-fired economy to one that's more renewable-driven, there's actually benefits for them, too. They get to sell their renewable energy to California, which needs it in certain hours when the sun goes down, as I said before.
And Wyoming, though, Carl, is fairly heavily invested in coal power. So what, you know, how might that figure into this question?
Yeah. Good question. Wyoming is in the middle of a real crisis right now, and a lot of the coal states are because the coal plants are retiring, and they're retiring very quickly because they can't compete. In other parts of the country, they're retiring by the tens of thousands of megawatts in regional markets like the one we're talking about now. Wyoming understands that it also has world-class renewable energy resources. It has some of the best wind energy on the continent, and they have thousands of megawatts of potential that they can put into the market. And they have actually just in the last couple of weeks pointed out very directly that renewable energy will be a big part of their economic diversification plan. They need that because 70% of their state revenues right now come from coal, oil, and gas.
Wow.
And the fact of the matter is their economy is hemorrhaging money and people are leaving the state. So, you know, I think, you know, we don't need to worry about Wyoming. We can actually help Wyoming make a transition by having a regional market in which our solar energy is replacing some of that coal plant and their coal plants, and their wind energy is helping us deal with our energy needs when the sun goes down.
All right, Carl, let's get to the real nitty-gritty. What does it mean for us as consumers? Is it possible cheaper energy could be available for us?
Well, yeah. I mean, cheaper energy is what the studies show is likely to occur. Studies done for SB 350 say that the state could have $1.5 billion a year in energy savings from expanding the grid. Part of that is due to the ability to use some of the lower-cost resources from around the rest of the West when we need them, turning off fossil plants that we're right now having to run when the sun goes down, and to be able to use some of our energy to sell that we're actually having to turn off.
And I'm sure that $1.5 billion in savings certainly would trickle down to us in our monthly bill, right?
Well, that's what the studies also show, and they show because of those savings that 10 to 20,000 new jobs would be created in California.
And what impact might this have on any existing utilities, for example, PG&E?
Well, PG&E would be able to get better deals on renewable energy for the long-term contracts that they would sign. They'd be able to, in the market that they're already part of, because the California Independent System Operator already runs a wholesale energy market, get a good bargains for their customers. It also helps the community choice aggregators be able to get good deals on renewable energy from around the West, too, because they're going to have to be doing more procurement. They're going to have to buy more renewable energy, and they're going to be looking for the lowest cost renewable energy that they can find to meet their needs. So I think this really helps them, too, which is why a number of the CCAs and their statewide association have endorsed the legislation to expand the grid.
What's next for this project?
Well, you know, we have to go through an Appropriations Committee hearing. That's coming up in a few weeks. Once that's done, it'll go to the floor of the legislature. The legislature adopts the legislation authorizing the change in governance. Then the rest of the states begin to come together to talk about who wants to participate. It's not a given. Nobody is forced to participate in this. It's all voluntary. So if the other states think it's a good deal for them, they'll allow their utilities to participate, and we'll have a regional market. And I really believe they will, because the benefits are very great across the board for everyone. The energy imbalance market that we have, which is a regional market right now, it's only in the real time or 5% of the overall energy market. It's saved participating utilities $320 million since it formed a few years ago. So, and as more of them join, the benefits increase. And they all see this happening now in that tiny part of the market. If we can get the full day-ahead market, the full regional system operator market up and running, there's a lot of benefits for everybody. So I would expect all the states would be willing to join, and we should then see a pretty rapid decarbonization of the Western electricity system.
Well, sharing resources, a good idea. Carl, thanks so much for being here.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
That is Carl Zakella, Director of Western Transmission of the NRDC.